Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 82 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is my good friend Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Hello, thanks for having me back.
Always fun. Maybe we'll get some trivia for today. We'll see.
Oh, always. There's always trivia involved.
Yes, there is. That is very true. That's why it's fun doing this. Mm-hmm. So minute 82 begins with Zeus getting ready to leave Yankee Stadium and ends with a wide shot of Chester A. Arthur Public School. So we ended things yesterday with Zeus surprisingly in Yankee Stadium somehow, even with his ticket when there's no game or whatever. I've been thinking about this since yesterday. Maybe he has like special VIP tickets that let you in at any time.
Oh, advanced access. Yeah, that could be. I know there's there are some stadiums, like I know Coors Field here in Denver does this, where they'll have like you can go on a tour. And, you know, like go into like the visitor's dugout and, you know, press boxes and things like that and then see a game. So maybe it's something like that.
Have you ever done a tour?
I haven't. I'd really like to, though.
Well, what's holding you back? Come on. If Zeus can do it, Todd can do it.
It's always like I never think of these things until it's like, oh, you know, I should have planned on that a few weeks in advance. And, you know, or sometimes it's always just the mentality of, well, I'll always be able to do that. You know,
we've all been there.
You know, I've always had this weird curiosity. I'd like to go on the Coors Brewery tour that we have here in Golden, Colorado, which I don't drink beer. I'm not a drinker in any way, but I think it sounds interesting. And for years it was free. And, you know, I've lived here for 30 years and I've never been on this tour. It was free for all these years. And now it costs something. So I missed my opportunity to go for free, but I'll still go. Go someday. I'll go to the Coors Brewery and I'll go on the Coors Field tour.
And when you come back in a season or two, you'll tell us how that went.
Yes, you know, we'll try.
Inquiring minds want to know. Oh, come on. We have to live vicariously through you. You know, because I can't foresee that I'm going to be in Denver, in the Denver area in the near future where I could go do either of those things. So, you know, I would want a play-by-play, blow-by-blow from Todd. Why not?
Maybe I should save it, you know, until the next time you do come stateside, and we'll make sure that when you come to Denver, we go on the Coors Field tour and then the Coors Brewery tour just for you.
Well, unfortunately, I don't want you to be able to use me as the excuse of why you didn't go. Like right now, I don't have plans to go. But if you're always going to
say, "Well, I'll Rob show up," he never showed up. I never got to do those tours.
That's right. All right, so you know what? Let's pencil it in. How's that? We'll pencil it in. But if you get another offer to do it, then you have my permission to go without me.
Okay. How's that? All right. That sounds good.
Sounds fair. All right. So we ended things yesterday with Zeus being very confused in Yankee Stadium as to why he has a label maker sign saying "Game Over." And he's looking around trying to figure out what's going on. And then we get another shot of the two assassins. And once again, you know, we get the wrestler saying yes or no.
Ja oder nein.
Exactly.
And it's the only thing I can say in German because of this movie.
There you go. And the response is nein.
Nein. It's a nein.
That's right. But then he says to him, you know, we'll follow it. So maybe you know. Maybe you know how to say that in German.
That one's too complicated. See, the other one is just three words. I can handle that.
Right. Well, what's very funny is that in the movie on the, you know, on the screen itself, it's hard, you know, hard coded in that it says, we'll follow him. But in the, subtitles, it says we need the other one too. So
Oh,
it's a slight
okay.
discrepancy there. Slight. And then the shot changes, and we see a bunch of cops around the school. Everyone's running around. We see Lambert, who's quite frustrated, and he goes, "TV's got us. TV's got us. We got to release these traffic guys." And then the answer is, "No, traffic jams. We can take care of later." That's what Cobb says. And he goes, "You find out what the hell is wrong with this thing. Frequencies are jammed." And then he says, "What about Ricky?" "I don't know. Can't get a hold of him." "But Walter, Federal Reserve, yeah. Biggest gold storage in the world."
I love Graham Greene in this scene.
he's great. I love him in this movie. I think he's
really great in the whole movie. Yeah. I mean, you know, in so much of the Die Hard movie, you know, the Die Hard series, it's all about, you know, John McClane, you know, doing his thing. I think in this one, we get some good, strong, you know, support for him here. And Graham Greene is part of that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And then he says, "You get a unit back down there, find Ricky, find out what the hell is going on." And then he gets interrupted. And, you know, Connie screams out, "Walter." And he turns around and goes, "Yeah, you got to hear this." Now, one of the things I love about this whole scene is they show how chaotic everything is right here.
Right.
You know, they're scrambling. They're really, I mean, we talked about the fact that, I think if I remember correctly, there are 1,400 public schools in New York. Mm-hmm. Or was it 14,000? I don't remember. Actually, I don't remember the number anymore. But there's a lot. You know, and for them to have to go through all of them and, you know, having Cobb and Lambert and Connie, you know, sticking together and going through this one, you see the chaos of everything that's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. Though it's weird because I've always, when I think about this scene, it throws me a little bit because, you know, she's got Jerry with her. And I'm always like, how'd Jerry get there, you know, so quickly? But at the same time, I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe this is meant to kind of show that some time has passed. Because, I mean, you know, the tunnel is pretty long, I guess, you know. And so I suppose it's possible for Jerry to have gotten from wherever he came out of the tunnel to this chaos pretty quickly. But it's maybe a little bit of a stretch. I don't know.
Well, the thing that gets me with it is I agree with you on that. That you know, time wise, we don't know how much time has passed. That's fine. But how did Jerry find Cobb? Because John told him to go to Columbus Circle. Mm-hmm. He's at a random school right now. He's not at Columbus Circle. So Jerry had to get to Columbus Circle from, you know, from the point where they were getting into the tunnel. Okay, he had to drive from there to Columbus Circle and then find out, say, "I'm looking for Cobb." And they say, "Oh, Cobb's at, I don't know, Ronald Reagan School." You know, and he mm-hmm. had to go there.
Well, so even that, you got to assume there would be trouble because, as they just said a moment ago, the frequencies are jammed and scrambled and, you know, they're having trouble communicating with each other. So how do they exactly know where Cobb is at?
That is right. So this is another little discrepancy in the movie that you don't normally notice. You know, when you look at it this way, you really it stands out. You know, you might have had the question before, how, you know, what time, how much time passed before Jerry could get there. But I love the fact also that he's still wearing his hard hat.
Well, I mean, you know, all the chaos going on there, you know, things are getting thrown and all that. He's probably the smartest one in the bunch to be wearing a hard hat.
That's true. But, you know, and then the shot changes and we see a whole bunch of people inside of a car and they're throwing things at the car, you know, like rotten vegetables and stuff like that. And you get a glimpse. We get a glimpse inside the car. We see Cobb. We see Connie. And we see Jerry sitting next to that.
Jerry's like, in there. Yeah. Which I was like, why'd they bring Jerry with? And what I would have loved, I mean, we talked about Jerry last time and how we love his love of trivia. I mean, it would have been great if there's an extended version somewhere where, like, you know, Jerry is continuing to rattle off trivia to the cops as they're making their way to things. You know, they're like posing different questions about things, and he's, you know, just throws out a random fact that helps them in some way or something like that. Jerry's the true hero of this story. Let's face it. Come on.
I tend to agree with you on this. I think, I think Jerry needed more time in this movie. If Lambert would have said, oh, it's the gold depository, and Jerry go, oh, the gold depository has been around since 1823. And
right. Yeah, exactly.
And just give all that information from that. And, you know, as they're in the car, Cobb goes, Christ, I thought we were going in the back way. And he goes, this is the back way, Walter. In a half hour, you're going to have a ride in every school in this city. The cast that we saw at the beginning of this movie is nothing compared to what we see now. I love how Jerry's looking back and forth. You know, he's getting more nervous than everyone else in the car.
The one guy with the hard hat, and he's nervous.
That's right. And he also, I don't know if you noticed this, but he gets out of the van with them and goes into the school.
Yeah, that's why I thought he was going to have some more information, you know. He's like,
Chester A. Arthur, I know about that.
this school was built in such and such year, and they added this annex a few years later, you know. Come on, Jerry's useful.
That's right. So the biggest question here that I have for you is there really a Chester A. Arthur public school in New York City?
I looked this up. There is not. This is, I believe it. Now it's actually the sign that we see as this minute is closing, zooms in on the sign. It's partially correct because this is PS 115 in New York, but it's Alexander Humboldt School. It's not Chester A. Arthur. Yeah. And it's not in Harlem either. It's in Washington Heights.
That's right. It's on West 177th Street. So, I mean, I looked it up, and the only Chester A. Arthur school that I found was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not here. which makes you wonder why they would have chosen to do this. But, I mean, we already talked about in the script how the president that they were supposed to guess was Taft. It was supposed to be the 27th president.
Okay.
You know, wasn't Chester A. Arthur. So they changed it for the movie. And, you know, it's very strange the way that they arbitrarily decided to. Maybe it's because, you know, they said to the guy who plays Jerry, hey, what do you think? He goes, hey, I know a lot about Chester A. Arthur.
Well, and apparently he didn't know anything about Alexander Humboldt, because, I mean, they could have just left it the way it was. But I guess that wasn't,
well, Alexander Humboldt wasn't. They wouldn't have been able to use the trivia question of what's 21 of 42.
True, true. They could have said, who's the father of ecology? Oh, yeah, of course. That's Alexander Humboldt. I mean, I guarantee you, Jerry would know that. I mean, come on. It's Jerry. Jerry knows these things.
That's true. You know, I decided to go through a list of the schools named after presidents, right, across the country. First of all, how many K-12 schools are there in the U.S.? What would be your guess? The entire U.S.
Oh, I have no – the entire U.S.? I wouldn't even know where to begin.
No, okay, so it's approximately 130,000.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And so how many of the 130,000 do you think are named for one of the 45 presidents? And the reason I say 45 presidents is because Cleveland was Grover Cleveland was twice president. So, right, you know, right. Biden is 46. But he's really only the 45th president because of that.
So what did you say again? 130,000?
Out of 130,000.
How many named for presidents? Let's say 2,500.
According to this list here, there's only 642.
Wow. That's less than I would have thought. But I suppose.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. What president do you think has the most schools of the 642 on this list. Okay. What president do you think has the most? This is K through 12 schools named after them.
Yeah. Well, I went to a Lincoln Elementary School, and I would guess Lincoln.
Lincoln is actually number 5 on the list.
Okay.
There are four other presidents who have more elementary, middle, or high schools named after them. Any guess as to who they would be?
Well, I know we're a wave of Obamas, so I'll throw out Obama.
Nope. Obama's number 10. There's 22 for Obama.
Okay. Well, how about Washington?
Okay, Washington is number 3. Okay, well, just to give you an idea, so Lincoln, there are approximately 50 named after him. Washington has about 60.
Okay.
Okay. Who else you got?
Could I kill two birds with one stone by just saying Roosevelt?
Well, Teddy Roosevelt is number 6 on the list with about 25. And Franklin Roosevelt has about 15. And he's probably about, how far down the list is he? He's probably like number 18 on the list, something like that.
Okay. Kennedy popped into my mind just now. That seems like one.
Kennedy is number 1.
Okay.
Kennedy is number 1. How many do you think there are? Now, remember, George Washington had about 60. And there George is Washington someone between them. 60? There's someone in between the two of them.
How about, I'll say 98.
110.
110.
Yes.
Yeah. And as I was thinking about that, you know, as I was trying to process ones in my mind, again, I think that Kennedy, I think there was probably a wave of schools that changed their names to Kennedy after he was assassinated. I seem to remember hearing something about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That is well known. Okay. So any guess on the number 2 or the number 4 slots?
Number 2 and number 4. It's tough because you think of political people, you think they're so divisive. Reagan?
Nope. Reagan is number 12 on the list with about 17.
See, part of me wants to say Jefferson, but I have a feeling that a number of Jeffersons have been changed in recent years.
So is that part of you right or wrong?
I'm going to say Jefferson just for the heck of it.
And Jefferson is number 2.
Okay.
You see, you go with your gut. You go with your gut. There's approximately 80 named after Jefferson.
I'm spent. Okay, what was number 4?
Number 4 was Woodrow Wilson with about 55.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, where do you think Chester Arthur fits on this list?
Well, I mean, you said there was one in Philadelphia. let's say he's way down towards the bottom. I mean, like in the 40s somewhere.
He's actually 37.
37. Okay.
37. And after him, you have George W. Bush, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, Zachary Taylor, Andrew Johnson, Nixon, Trump, and then Trump. Biden.
Yeah.
Right. But, well, I mean, because I guess you usually wait to name after people after they're no longer.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's. I mean, there are like 3 named after Clinton. He's number 28 on the list. I was actually surprised that, you know, we talked about how Chester A. Arthur has like 1 or 2. James Garfield is number 19 on this list. You know, he was president for like 4 months.
they're counting the ones that were actually.
No, he's president for a year. Could be. And then William Henry Harrison is number 24 on the list. You know,
he was only in office for 30 days.
That's right. Yeah, the president who died of pneumonia because of catching pneumonia on his inauguration. You know, who who's so much further. He's 13 slots above Chester Arthur.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of like how, you know, when a singer dies, it increases their record sales. Maybe it's the same way with the presidents. Die early and you get a bunch of schools named after you.
It could be. And then just rounding up the top 10. So we have, I'll just go through the top 10 real quickly. JFK, Jefferson, Washington, Wilson, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, James Madison, John Adams, and then Barack Obama's number 10.
So interesting.
Yeah, no, it's actually interesting based on what we just said about, usually it's after they die that they have schools named after them. I mean, if Obama has almost nearly 20 schools named after him, that's pretty amazing at this point. Mm-hmm. We hear them, they're showing us the school, and we hear Connie say, in half an hour, you're going to have to ride in every school in the city. We'll start at the top floor, put 20 men on each floor. That was Cobb, giving the last bit of instructions before the minute ends. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. So we have a little bit of a skip in the script before we get to the information related to this, but so I'm skipping a few pages, and then it says Manhattan, Columbus Circle, truck driver Jerry Parks stands in front of Arthur Cobb. Now, in the script, he's known as Arthur Cobb, as well as in the credits of the movie, even though everyone calls him Walter.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Walter Arthur Cobb. That's his full name.
That's right. That's correct. Truck driver Jerry Parks stands in front of Arthur Cobb, who's talking excitedly on the phone. That's right, Charlie. Taft Public, 135th in Columbus. He turns off the phone and says to Jerry, thanks. Screams to Lambert, Walsh, and the others, let's go, fellas. Janie, get me the Westchester State Police. And like, that's the only thing they really have here dealing with this part of it. So it's I don't know. I like the way they do in the movie a little better. So it's more fun this way. And we get to see Jerry.
Exactly. You can never have enough Jerry.
Every Tuesday, we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five movie trilogies. So what have you got for us? Todd, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Well, let me start this by saying that, going back to what we were saying the other day about being a movie snob, when I think trilogy, I struggle when it comes to these trilogies that are not really connected. Like when people talk about what's that Edgar Wright trilogy that they have where it's like Shaun of the Dead and the Cornetto. Right, the Cornetto trilogy. To me, I'm like, that's not really a trilogy. These movies are not really, it's not the same characters, same storyline, whatever. So I am very much into that, where it's like got to be, that same basic group of characters, story, whatever. And also I am locked into like, it's its own self-contained trilogy. Like, I'm not going to be the type of person that goes, oh, well, Star Trek 2, 3, and 4 are their own trilogy. No.
I've had guests use that also.
Okay. So, so five. Genesis trilogy. Yeah. So five, I actually went with The Naked Gun because I think those movies are so much fun. Four, I went with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man series, even though three is kind of like, I don't care for three that much, but it doesn't ruin it for me. I think that one and two are so fantastic. Three, I went with Back to the Future. Two, I went with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. We're not talking about, Middle Earth, including The Hobbit, whatever. The Lord of the Rings is its own trilogy. And then one, I went with the original Star Wars, because again, I think that's, it was created as its own original trilogy, even though other trilogies in that series have come after.
Okay. All right. That is a very, very solid list. That's easy. For me, when I look at this list, and obviously people are gonna have to wait until I finish the, finish the whole season to actually tell you what my list is, but I don't feel the need to try to use makeshift trilogies because there's enough great trilogies of their own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that I mean, not that I don't enjoy them, but, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be within my top, you know, top five of those movies. So people will just have to wait to see what's going to be there. All right. So, Todd, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Forgotten Filmcast. You can find that wherever you find your podcasts. My blog is called Forgotten Films. It's at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. And you can follow me on X at Forgotten Films. That's films with a Z.
While you're doing that, you go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter. You can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. Or if you want to go to my website, it's movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out. And we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.